You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
If you've ever been around folks that are passing away or whatever, you always lean in. And so I just hope that you'll lean in. This is a lesson to people who are parenting. I say parenting because I don't mean parents, because many of you are grandparents and you're now parenting a grandchild. Many of you are single parents. Many of you are in a situation where you have found yourself fostering or maybe adopting, but you have the parenting role. And listen, grandparents, you're not off the hook. You now have grandkids. Many of you are involved in some kind of parenting thing. You may just see your kids every once in a while, but you have still some influence. And so Joshua is going to stand up, and I got to say this, look real quick. Therefore, fear the Lord, worship him with sincerity and truth. Get rid of the dumb gods that your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River. They're useless. They do nothing. Get rid of them. Worship the Lord. By this time, he's a grumpy old man. He's 110 years old. It's like, I'm going to say, this is like my dad. He's 83, and now he thinks since he's 83, he can just say whatever. And because he's old, people will forgive him. What does he say? If this doesn't please you to worship the Lord, then pick a side. But quit being wishy-washy. Quit being in the middle. Pick a side. Which you're going to worship? Is it going to be the gods of the ancestors? Or, listen to this. As for me and my family, we're going to worship the Lord. As for me and my family, we're going to worship the Lord. Three things. After these things, the Lord's servant, Joshua, son of Nun, died at the age of 110. So these literally are his last words. So the Lord was ready. And so he's going to take him. Number two, I'm addressing people who are parenting. I don't care at whatever level. If you got them for 2 hours a week, you got an opportunity. If you're halfway raising the feral neighbor's child, they keep coming over and you notice food gone. You got an opportunity. Okay, that's your opportunity. Number three, this guy ain't perfect. And so when he makes the proclamation, me and my family are going to serve the Lord, that doesn't mean we're going to be completely sin-free. We're never going to not cuss. We're accidentally write a hot check every once in a while. I mean, he is not trying to tell you guys that he's perfect. Here's his real last words. Here's his recipe, so to speak, for a good parenting paradigm. Number one, here's his statement. It's what you, three of you just amened. As for me and my family, we're going to worship the Lord. This is very bold, but you know what that means? I looked it up, make sure I didn't get off in my interpretation of that. But literally, in the Hebrew, it means to work. It almost indicates like a job. And you can look, and it gives you several other words. You know, it says to work, to serve, to labor, to do work. But Joshua says, my family is loyal to the Lord. How do you know if you're loyal to the Lord? Will you look back, do the decisions you are making, are the thoughts that you're thinking line up with the word? It's like we talked about last week. You know, when you start a fence, you've got a post here, and even if it's 1,000 feet down there, which I wouldn't recommend this, but if it is, it's two posts, one line pulled tight, and that's how you know to get all the other posts in straight. And that's how you know as a believer whether or not you're working for the Lord, serving the Lord, being loyal to the Lord, is if you can imagine that line, that straight line, as God's word, how close are you to that line in the things you're thinking and the decisions you're making? Joshua said, we ain't going to be perfect, but this family's going to serve. This family's going to serve. All right, so what was his recipe for getting his family to do that and for them staying on course? Ready? Number one. He wasn't scared to publicly let folks know who he was loyal to. It was real cool in that time to walk into a home and there'd be several idols in there. And it was no big deal. It was just no big deal in that time. I mean, it was little Las Vegas, basically, right there where they were living at the time. And so Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel and he got everybody there, all the leaders, the families. And so he publicly said, I need you guys to know where we stand. And I think it's very important in parenting that kids see who you are loyal to. And trust me, you can say whatever you want to at the church house and the house of the Lord, which by the way, there's no such thing. The house of the Lord is right here. This is a building where the house is of the Lord. come, and then we get to this thing, and you as a parent are all religious sounding on Sunday morning, but are your kids hearing that in the principles that you followed during the week? Jesus said something very interesting. He says, look, you deny me before others, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. I wouldn't want to be denied by Jesus. I wouldn't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. I know he stays that, because I'm God's problem child. I know he stays that way about half the time. I don't know how you can be so spiritually ADHD, but I are. What was I talking about? I just need you to understand he was loyal and he did it publicly. And I will tell you something. It goes way beyond Sunday morning. And your kids, or whoever it is going to know if that yard sign that says you follow Jesus or that bumper sticker that says you follow Jesus matches up with the choices you're making during the week. Number two, Joshua clearly indicated a healthy balance between fear and awe. It's a healthy balance. If you're growing up in a family where all they're talking about is how much God hates you, man, that's terrible. Or if you're growing up in a family where there's imbalance, and it's all about, oh, look how big God is. Look how good God is. He would never spank you because he loves you. There's this healthy balance. See, fear is the same as dread. And so all he's saying is, look, when you look to the word and you understand some of the choices you're making are stupid and against the Lord's will, just understand. Well, I'll jump down to verse 27. He says, sometimes when it will be a witness, some of your choices and your words are going to be a witness against you. And we don't want to deny the Lord, but he said there's going to be consequences. We talked about that last week. You get on the wrong side of the Lord, there's always consequences. So he is just simply saying, parents, let's figure out a way to balance this with both fear of getting on the wrong side and awe. This is a big God, a good God. It's like the first time some of you went to the mountains and you saw Pike's Peak and you're going, of course, when I go, that means I can't breathe. But I mean, you were just in awe. It's when your babies are born and you're just in awe of the Lord. It is when you see a rainbow and you are in awe of the Lord. And I still hope you never lose that awe, that you never forget just how cool God is. Number three, here's your next recipe. He was bold and unapologetic. So he stood up in front of these folks and he said, I'm going to make a choice to do what's right. You need to make up your mind about what you're going to do. He was not wishy-washy. Now, I'm going to say something to y'all. Whoever you invite on Easter, we're going to lay the hammer down on the gospel. I promise to tell the truth because I don't want them to go to hell. So I want you to bring your kids that never come to church. I want you to bring your next door neighbor that never goes to a local meeting. Don't grab somebody from another church. Grab somebody that needs to hear the good news, that needs to hear about hope, and that they don't have to be who they were on their worst day. But having said that, on Easter, that is a celebration of wishy-washy people. And I want them here. I'm not going to be like some of my colleagues. I heard the sermon. They had a big crowd on Easter, and that preacher scolded them. He beat them down for not coming. I want them here. But I hope they will stand and be committed and not be wishy-washy. These resolution Christians, they make a resolution on, that's why our attendance is good at Cross Brand. Boy, in January, we were blown away. You know what one of the staff people said? New Year's resolutions. I never thought about that. Make resolutions, and about 4 weeks in, it's just like that diet. We just stop. There is a point, guys, where you're going to have to make up your stinking mind. This aggravates me. Your kids are not going to see any commitment. They're not going to learn how to be committed to a local body. And by the way, if you think you can do Christianity without a local body, none of that is in the New Testament. So your version, your interpretation is not from the New Testament at all. Not from this New Testament reading. It was not what the doctrines of the apostles, it was not what Jesus said. So you need one another. To one another. There's 59 times we're commanded to do that. And you are not capable of just doing that for your kids. You may be a super parent, but I guarantee you cannot do it by yourself. And you got to make up your mind. Next, Joshua gave them proof. There's millennials sitting in here. That can't be true. You know you can't prove the New Testament is real. Of course you can. You're just not looking in the right sources. You're looking at TikTok at a 30-second theological discussion who's an idiot. A shallow, hermeneutically, exegesis-wise, all those big preacher words, in other words, they aren't digging deep enough. The ones that I know that have dug deep enough into the Word, guess what happens to them? You try to disprove the resurrection, you're probably going to become a Christian. Here's the problem. He gave them proof that parents could teach to their kids. You can trust the Lord, number one, because of the past. And that's all he did. He just looked to the past. And so he had the promise of multiplication. That's where he's looking around at thousands and thousands of people, and he said, God said this was going to happen. And it did. Trust God because of what he's done in the past. The second thing he said is through the promise of protection. And I can go on to, you know, forever, but this specifically made a lot of sense to those people that were standing around. You are in the minority, he said. We're crossing the Jordan. You're seeing it dry up, all right? And all the places that you're going to try and conquer are bigger than you and badder than you. And you're going, well, that's just Old Testament stuff and all the talk. All right, listen, Gen Zers. Sure. But why is it all of a sudden, now I don't trust science for the basis of my faith, but it's pretty daggum cool when science speaks up and proves my faith. See, I believe what happened to Jericho, Israel, that this little group of untrained Israelites did walk around the city of Jericho, and God, it fell. And all of you going, hey, man, I believe it, I believe it. And they're literally, I don't know when the discovery was, and by the way, people who are figuring out the archaeology in the Bible are not believers. There are very few Christian archaeologists. But they found Jericho, and they found a section, and they're going, how did these walls fall straight down? That's not the way you fought battles. Durr! That's the way the Lord made them fall down. And here's where I'm getting to. He said, guys, as a parent, show your kids from the past how God has provided for y'all and took care of you. All right? That's what he said. For you, parents, parenting, whoever you are, let me just share this with you. Try this. Do the same thing he did. Look to the past. Because many of your stories are horrible in human eyes. Remember the time you and their mama almost got a divorce? Who saved that? The Lord. Remember that time you almost died? Who did that? The Lord. Remember that time y'all were so broke, you ate green beans for 2 weeks? Wait, no, that was us. Y'all, remember that? If you are confiscating your story, please stop doing that. Share your story with anybody that you have influence on, that you're in a parenting situation. But here's where it's going to get a little tenser in here, if it ain't already. By the way, visitors that are here for their grandchildren, please come back. I promise to be nice. I'll be good, like my grandkids. Please don't ever shirk or shrink away when they want to ask the hard questions. You know, it's one of the biggest reasons people deconstruct, because 90% of the time, the average Christian kid, if they go to a major university, they're going to come back as a deconstructed Christian. They're not going to be a Christian anymore. If I need to say that again, if I need to share more with you, listen to Frank Turek, listen to Lisa Childers, listen to Alan Parr. They're all going to tell you, if you send your kid to the most universities and they don't have a solid foundation, the first agnostic that asks them, can you prove the Bible is true, they're going to collapse. And heck, it ain't even just colleges. There's kids on UIL trips in the back of the bus discussing some of the stuff that we discuss here, like gender identity and gender politics, and is the Bible true, and can we rewrite some of this? Didn't the Bible contain all these errors? And within 2 weeks, of band trips, that sophomore in high school that grew up in church is now deconstructed. And you know who you are. Some of you kids that are here because your mom or your dad makes you be here. Or they, here's a big one. They promised you Chick-fil-A if you could just stay awake. Here's the thing. As if you're in a parenting scenario, use facts. What are the facts? The fact is that the resurrection is real. And I know at least seven reasons why. Do you? I mean, you even know two. So when your kids come to you and on the verge of deconstructing, that's walking away from their faith, and you're sure they're saved, when they come to you and they ask, I'm just really concerned about the errors, you know, the errors that exist in the Bible. Well, there's no errors. What you are calling an error could simply be just a little bit of a wording issue, but it never impacts the fact. But see, we don't study. Unless we can figure this out in a 40-second video on TikTok, we're not willing to commit ourselves to proving what we have is real. But now, again, thanks to Frank Turek and Alan Parr and Lisa Childers and Natasha Crane, you can download any of their stuff, you can read their books. Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, that was here at Horsegate last year, he wrote an incredible proof on the resurrection. And even went to Israel this last month and walked you through those proofs. But see, some of us are still on that naive, good old boy, chicken fried Christianity, right? Southern fried Jesus, where we just aren't willing to read, we're not willing to study, we're not willing to defend our faith, and all we're gonna say is, well, I just trust the good Lord. Trust what? The book. What part of the book? You know, the book. You don't know. And I'm telling you, the average agnostic 20-year-old would destroy most people's faith in 10 minutes or less. Because we just don't know. Right, Patton? It's one of the things that just blew my mind. We got 20s and 30s, couples and singles that meet every week, and man, asking some hard questions. You talk about making a preacher pucker up. Yeah, asking hard questions. But we can't not dive into that. I promise you there's an answer. All right. Fixing to leave you. There's two preachers. One of them's sorry. That's me. The other one is smart. That's Dr. David Dykes. He was the former pastor at Six Flags Over Jesus. Man, I love that guy. I love that guy. And so he did a message years ago, and he interviewed these success, what he considered successful families and parenting scenarios. Not perfect. And here's the top 10. Parents, not raising perfect kids, but getting them in the faith. Top 10. And then I'll give you my two. What'd I say? I'm done. He has 10. I have two. Number one. This was from David Dykes. Children are disciplined with love and consistency. However you decide to do it, spanking, timeout, bridle reins, just kidding. I know some moms, you better be careful, because if they can't find a wooden spoon, if there's a bucket there, you dead. Number 9, money is managed wisely and discussed openly. Everyone shares household tasks. The family has learned to cope with adversity. And I will say this, because most of you, okay, you're either in a wreck, coming out of a wreck, or going into a wreck right now in your family with your health or with your finances or something. Especially you main caretakers. I wish I could just say this to all the dads, but we know we can in this current climate. If you, as the lead parent, freak out when adversity comes, what do you think you're saying to your kids? You're scaring them to death. You're saying God is not sovereign. God is not in control. Quit telling your kids that. You're scaring them. Number next. Family members laugh. I'm going to tell you what. All my kids looked at me like, well, if that's indicative of a healthy family, Dad, especially when you were ever around an electric fence, it was awesome at our house. Each person is treated with respect and kindness. Why is that up there? Because, you know, we are a culture of sarcasm. I'm the worst. I do it to y'all all the time. But be careful. The sarcasm doesn't turn into cynicism. Cynicism can destroy your kids. Time for family activities. We know that. The family eats and talks regularly together. And that is media and cell phone free. I am convinced, based on what I see in restaurants, you've got the little varmints right there in front of you. You're paying for their supper. Why are you on your phone? I'm talking to grown people. Why are you on your phone? Here's the conclusion I made 2 weeks ago. You ready? This is profound. Y'all lean in. If it's to tell you something important, thank you. You're the only one going to hear it. I'll tell you afterwards. You're the only one lean in, Lowell. Most of you don't own a phone. You really, that's what I've noticed. You know why? Because your phone owns you. I don't care what you think. That was profound, Paul. You don't own a phone. They own you. And if you can't put it down long enough to have a conversation with a kid or somebody that you have influence on, it owns you. Love is expressed every day. Jesus Christ is the glue. And let me give you my two. Ready? Mine are a little bit more abrasive and offensive. Mine are definitely not politically correct. Pay attention to who's influencing your kids. You're going, well, I do. We see that dark van that comes by every once in a while, and we got a crime watch in our neighborhood, and we call the law. And I ain't saying that's not a thing. I mean, we got Popo sitting right there, and he can tell you, yeah, after going to the border and being down there, human trafficking is a horrible thing. But we live in such a little isolated mindset that those are the only people that's going to hurt our kids and grandkids. They're not. The average kid is seeing porn at somehow. I mean, if they have a phone or if they have friends that have phones, somewhere between 7 and 9 years old. And it's soft stuff. Like you got your kid on TikTok or TikTok. And you got your kid looking at that stuff. It's soft. It's gateway stuff. It's not X-rated. It's just enough to create curiosity. Drag me down that path. The problem with some of us dumb parents, and we are dumb when it comes to technology sometimes, is the kids are so much smarter than us when it comes to technology. They can hide all that stuff. What's that folder on your phone? It's my math homework. Well, no, it's every social media app, every little gaming deal that has chat rooms. And you should hear the stories of the kids that have been exploited and that have been blackmailed right under the parents' nose. And I didn't know this until last week. James Emery Brown, I got to read this to you. I didn't realize that like on the preteens, some of you old people ain't gonna know what this is. You know what an influencer is? Yeah, that's what the law said I had wrong with me when they put, no, that's not what. That's driving under the influence. Influencers, social media, that's all they do. Did you know that there are some preteens that now consider themselves 11% of Gen Zers already describe themselves as influencers, and I don't know. Oh, one in three preteens lists that as a career goal. That's all they want to do. All right. So there is, he didn't give me who it was, Dr. James Emery White. He said, one mother was interviewed for an article and said, I really don't want my child exploited on the internet. She's been doing, because she's a teen influencer. She's been doing this so long now, her numbers are just so big. What do we do? Just stop and walk away? What do you think? Yes, you do. You know why? Because someone was smart enough to go in there and see all of her followers. And guess who a lot of her followers were? Dirty, old, perverted men. That would definitely do her harm. And her mom says, I just don't know if I can pull her off. I don't know when we became such a generation of gutless parenters. But it's kind of where we're at. And I think that's what Joshua was saying. Pick. Pick. And if you've been doing it wrong, pick. And take that stand and lead. Well, the damage is always done. I don't think you understand our Lord and you understand the doctrine of grace if you say the damage is already done. That means you have given up. And that is not part of the faith that we all share. Second thing, more than anything else, pay attention to your kid's soul. Pay attention to your kid's soul. I saw a thing on Facebook this last week, and it says, if our children miss heaven, none of the other stuff matters. Nothing. Y'all agree? Now, this was a good step this morning. What this is we don't do like some churches that trick kids into believing that they're going to go to heaven just because they got water or they got some guy in a dress and pointed hat that said that they were going to heaven. We don't believe that because it's not in Scripture, not in Scripture at all. And so, and Jesus certainly never said it. But so here's what we did today. We encourage parents to create a climate that their kids go, Jesus stuff. And they start asking questions at an early age. That's why we do this. But see, that's a daily thing in your home. If you want them to go to heaven, you gotta create a climate that welcomes that kind of decision. And they can't do it if they don't see it working for you. It's gotta work for you. It's gotta make sense for you. It's gotta work for you in adversity. The Jesus stuff has gotta work for you. I'm saying what Joshua said as I close this morning. My family and I are going to worship the Lord. Some of the woke folks are not going to like us. Some of the liberals and progressives that go to church every Sunday are not going to like us. Some of the good old boys that wish we wouldn't be so out with our faith. It's going to make them uncomfortable too, but it's for me and my family and my grandkids. I'm going to do everything in my power, and we're going to be loyal to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, gritty talk. I pray, Lord, if you've struck a chord in the hearts and the souls and the spirits of any body that's involved in parenting or influence here this morning, that they will make a decision, a clear, non-wishy-washy decision to be loyal to you and to create a climate in their home that says they're loyal. Secondly, Father, if there's someone here that thinks they're going to heaven and they don't know, or if there's someone here this morning that knows good and well that if something were to happen to them today, they'd have no idea where they'd go. But Father, if you've got them in the state of mind where they understand that they're sin and they have a need for you, I just pray that either they'll come down front and find one of us, or number two, that from where they sit, they will say, Jesus, I'm a mess. Jesus, please forgive me. Jesus, please change me.